Guys, in today here on this Saturday, we roll till 6 o'clock, and then it's the show with Jarvis and Tanitra. Looking forward to that. Jarvis will join us at 5:20. Sarah Spencer coming up at 4:20 on the Hawks. But right now, we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and we welcome in our man, Smoking Joe Patrick, Braves reporter for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joe, I got to tell you, I saw some of the pictures on the Twitter machine this week with the we'll just call it the heater in mouth. I got to tell you, God bless the internet, man.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, it's hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, what a great night it was last night, too. I got to say, you know, I shared a picture out on the company Twitter from the stadium with all packed full of fans. I mean, I know the game didn't go how all those fans would have liked, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what a great night to be out there.
Yeah, and the first time that we were allowed to have 100% capacity, the first time that was permitted, 38,000 and change. What was the vibe, the environment? Did it feel like something completely different than we've really experienced in the last year, or did it just feel like business as usual?
It was noticeable. Maybe not completely different for me, considering I've been going to these games all season and they've kind of been progressing up and up in terms of the attendance allowed. But I mean, it just felt relaxed. But also just like when in this environment, when people have been kind of shut out from being able to attend these events, mm-hmm. everybody who comes is just in a good mood. So like in past years, you would have seen probably booze raining down in that first inning, the way things were going for the Braves. But you know, who could be mad on a night like that, you know, just kind of getting back into the ballpark. And I just felt like people were just happy to be there, and it was just good vibes all around.
Yeah, that was the view I got from television for sure. You know, we're 20% of the way through the season, and I try not to really make any true definitive statements until at least Memorial Day weekend. But, I mean, I'm looking at this, Joe. Lose 4, win 4, lose 4, win 5 of 7, lose 2, win 3, lose 4, win 3, lose last night. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster, and I don't like amusement parks at all. Are you getting the feeling early on? I mean, is it fair at least to say early on right now that maybe this team just might have a little hangover, and maybe they're just going to slightly underachieve all year, or is it premature?
Yeah, you know, no, I'm right there with you, man. Like, it does feel like a roller coaster. It does feel like this team, you know, it's like they'll go on a winning streak like they did this week, and they swept Washington, and it feels like good vibes, and you know, they're happy that they were able to kind of win these stressful games, and you're like, okay, well, this is going to parlay into something that's more consistent and longer term, and then you know, maybe that will happen. You know, we're only one game off of that, but obviously, you come home last night and have a stinker, and it's just like, it is really emotional. And, you know, to be fair, this team has had to deal with some things, you know, some choppier waters early on in the season that they haven't necessarily had to deal with in the past. I mean, a lot of things have gone right for this team this last couple of years, just in terms of guys performing how you would think, or even overperforming, and, you know, guys stepping up and playing big roles on the team that you didn't really expect. And this year, you've got injuries to some major pieces. You've got a guy in Freddie Freeman, who was obviously your MVP last year, who is just not really doing much of anything as of late, especially. So, you know, you think that with the law of large numbers, that any regression that happens is going to be like a positive regression back to their averages. But it does feel like, you know, it's getting kind of that spooky vibe where it's like, you know, this struggle is now kind of pronounced, and we are, like you said, we're 20% through the season. That's a pretty decent chunk. That's a pretty decent sample size so far. And so I am a little bit worried about this team. I mean, I thought that maybe going into the year that they were going to be the clear title favorites for the division title. And now I think it's going to be a major scrap just to get into the playoffs for this team, because it is a competitive division.
Yeah, it's funny you say that with the division, because I never really thought the Mets were going to be a great team. I thought they were overinflated because they're New York, and I thought Philly and Washington would be a couple of games above 500. I just think when you scan this division right now, yeah, competitive, compelling, maybe not the word to use, but we're really fortunate that we could be 20% of the way through the season, have the record we have, and still only be 2.5 games out at first. I mean, we could easily be sitting here looking up 5-6 games back.
Very fortunate. Very fortunate. And Brian Snicker has even said the same thing. And honestly, that is kind of, I think it's telling that Brian Snicker is already talking about the way that the division is shaped up early on in this season, because a lot of times you'll say like, oh, we're not even looking at the standings until after the All-Star break and or until September or whatever it is. But, and I think it's telling that, that Brian Snicker, among others, have been saying that, you know, it's nice that they're not looking at a big, like a huge hill to climb as where they stand right now. But I mean, I think that if you do look at the way that the team is trending, you just don't see necessarily that upward trajectory for this team that's all of a sudden going to explode out of what we were talking about earlier, where the team has just been up and down, up and down, up and down. Now, if you do get Max Fried coming back, I mean, that's a huge bonus, and what we saw from him in his last start, I think, had to have been so encouraging, not just for the team and the fans, but for the players to see a guy come back. And if you get Max Fried back in his top form, then that's like you're getting an ace. That's like a new signing almost, especially compared to the way he was pitching earlier this season. And of course, you have Mike Soroka who could come back too. And so you have potentially things that could you know, benefit you down the line. But I just think that right now, this team knows it's in a slog. This team knows that, you know, they've got struggling hitters. They know that they probably don't have the same confidence in their bullpen that they would have had last year. So I think that, you know, there are some challenges for this team. But they are, to get back to your point, they are very fortunate that, yeah, that this division is so tight as it is at the moment.
Joe Patrick joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let me get to Morton. You know, last night, another one of those bizarre, you know, it's weird because He gave up 6 runs, but they all go down as unearned due to the passed ball. And I'm looking at his season log so far, 3 bad starts, 3 quality to pretty good starts, and then 1 so-so. This is not so much a anti-Charlie Morton question to you, but I just feel like this is one of those things that, well, this is what you're going to get if you are Liberty Media. Mm-hmm. Morton's ERA is 5. Smiley is over 6. I mean, this is what you get on the back end when you take this approach, right?
Yeah, I mean, Morton has had a really interesting season so far. I think he's been really kind of hard done by, and his stats really don't reflect how his stuff has been. I mean, I remember a couple starts ago, he gave up a grand slam. I think he gave up 4 runs in his start. And Brian Snicker talked to him afterwards. He was like, I thought he was going to throw a no-hitter in that game because the stuff was so good. And that's been the story with Morton all season long. It's just been like one inning where the runs just won't stop coming across the plate, and it kind of balloons his ERA and things like that. But the stuff has generally been good. I do think there are clearly a lot more questions about Drew Smiley. It was great to see him, you know, I know it was a relief for Smiley himself, but of course, you know, for Alex Anthopoulos in the front office to see him finally get a good start, because it's been really rough. And I think that people were already questioning. I mean, I know I was hearing from Braves fans thinking, saying they need to cut the guy. I mean, I think it's too early to do that, obviously, but, you know, with an $11 million signing, you expect somebody like that to perform, and that's $11 million that they are not going to be able to spend on the bullpen, and maybe, you know, that's more money than a lot of people thought he was going to get on the market. So he is kind of in a position where he needs to perform, and these two guys, Morton and Smiley especially, like you said, they're going to be big pieces. The Braves, if they want to make the postseason, they need those guys to step up. They're not going to be able to really do what they did last year, where they kind of were able to piece together a starting rotation and kind of ride their bullpen through 60 games. I mean, if last season was 160 games and they had that happen to them, I don't know if they make it. I mean, what happened last year was really remarkable for this team. Fortunately, they've had Oscar Yanoa step up, who's really provided a little bit of stability to this rotation. But yeah, I mean, they're going to need all these guys down the stretch, and you just hope that they can all get on the same track, you know, or get on track at the same time, so this team can kind of go on a run. That's what's really propelled them these last couple of years, is they go on a hot streak where they just are tearing it up for a 6-week period. They build a lead in the division, you know, and that's what you would hope to see out of this team. But it's looking, you know, who knows if that's going to happen anytime soon.
You mentioned Oscar Yanoa. I mean, right now his WHIP is 0.90. His ERA 2.36. Is through 20% of the season, is he the biggest story through 1/5 of the year, or do we have to defer to Ronald Acuna?
I mean, yeah, I think he's the biggest positive story, honestly. I mean, I know Acuna got off to that scorching hot start. I think another story that might rival it on the other end is Freddie Freeman with just how surprising how poor he's been. But, yeah, I mean, Oscar Yanoa, you look at him, and he's a guy who's kind of come out of nowhere, because when you look at the Braves' young prospects that are kind of pushing for time in the starting rotation. You think of Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson, these kind of blue chippers who have been around for a long time. We've heard a lot about, they've obviously had a lot of opportunities. And Walker, you know, hasn't been that guy, but he did get an opportunity last year. I think he really impressed Brian Snicker. He really impressed the front office. And then he's come out this year and just been fantastic. He's had one bad start, and that is it. Outside of that start, he's been dominant, really. And I think what's really impressive, it's easy to forget that he is 2 or 3 years younger than Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson as well. So it's like he's got a lot more potential. And he's already, you know, one of the impressive things about him is he's got a good fastball, got a really good breaking ball and a slider. But, you know, as a two-pitch pitcher, I think that was always the question mark a lot of people had for him, with him as a starter. You know, you can get by with two pitches as a reliever, but what's really impressive is that he's been able to develop a changeup and already working that into his repertoire this season, which was something that Brian Snicker kind of requested. He was like, he needs to, you know, use a changeup, and that will really improve those other two pitches. He's been able to do that fantastically. And then he's also, you know, just blasting home runs. So no big deal about that either, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Joe Patrick joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, I thought it was interesting. You alluded to Freddie Freeman, and I'm always fascinated by the way professional athletes handle contract years or the year following when they get that type of commitment. Freddie's in a contract year. Marcel got his long-term payday, and both of them are struggling, whether it's, you know, at the plate from a stat standpoint. I don't know if they're just being first pitch swinging, overly aggressive, what it is, but do you think that the whole contract thing is kind of looming over Freddie, and that maybe explains the .95 average?
I don't know, of course, but I can't, like, it's hard for me to imagine that it's not, right? Because this is just so different than anything we've seen from Freddie Freeman in his career. And what is really interesting to me and kind of worrying is, you know, in these last couple games he's played, he's swinging and missing at balls that are not even close to the strike zone. Like, he's really expanding his zone with two strikes, and it's not working out. And that's just not something you see from a guy like Freddie, who's really, you know, got a ton of discipline at the plate and has a really good approach, knows exactly what he wants to do when he gets up there. I think with Marcelo Zuna, it's a little different. He just got off to a slow start, and I think he is kind of turning the corner now. Hit a home run against Washington. He's hitting the ball hard again. Had another, you know, hit last night. So I think that he is turning the corner. But with Freddie Freeman, I think that it would certainly make me feel a lot better if tomorrow or today they announced that he had a new contract. You know, I don't know if that would actually make a difference, but it would certainly make me feel better. And I can't help but think that that's something that's kind of looming over this whole situation, whether it's impacting him actually or not.
All right, final one for you. This team currently 13th out of 16 teams in the National League in team ERA. They are 10th out of 16 at the plate. Right now, I tell you, fast forward 3 weeks, get us to Memorial Day weekend. What comes around sooner, the bats or the arms?
I think the arms. I think that ERA will improve. I think that the team is kind of working some things out in the bullpen where they're finding the right pieces and some guys are gaining confidence there. And then, again, something I talked about a little bit earlier, but Max Fried, him coming back, he's obviously going to really improve the starting rotation. And I think the kind of thing that we don't really talk about as much with Max Fried coming back is, you know, evaluating him starting the season. I mean, when he went down with his injury, he had an ERA in the double digits through three starts. He was just not the same Max Fried that we were accustomed to. And, you know, he talked about when he went down injured, he was able to evaluate his mechanics, and he was seeing things that he was, you know, that were not right. He was rushing to the plate, just not really being having the same delivery that he has had these last couple of years. And so I think that we saw the benefits of that in his start when he returned, and I think we'll continue to see that. And then if they can get Soroka back, obviously that's going to improve things even more. And I think, again, talking about what we said with Charlie Morton earlier as well, I think that ERA will naturally come down. He's just run into some really bad luck so far this season.
Joe Patrick, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time on a Saturday. Thanks for popping on.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Nick.
You got it. Joe Patrick with us, Braves reporter, Sports Radio 92.9. The game. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, we're going to get Soroka back, and obviously Max Fried will be back, and that's going to feel like a double shot in the arm, no pun intended. I just got to think the bats, you know, as much as I like Max, obviously, and we'll see about Mike Soroka, but as the weather continues to warm up, and by the way, the weather in the South, April and May this year, has been very bizarre. A little cooler than normal, I feel like we've had more rain than usual, just dreary, overcast. As it gets hot and it gets humid, I think those bats are going to come to life. All right, 404-741-0929 if you want to jump in on any reaction to what Joe had to say. We are going to take Falcons calls coming up at 4 o'clock because up next, I got two little tidbits I want to get to with the Atlanta Falcons post-NFL draft. One has to do with the schedule. Schedule release show coming up this Wednesday, May the 12th. And also, the skill players with the addition of Kyle Pitts. We'll get to those two little nuggets on the Atlanta Falcons, and then we're going to rock some Falcons calls at 4 o'clock. And oh, by the way, too, Mother's Day weekend. We're going to have some fun with some of the greatest TV moms a little later in the show. Nick Kale Show. Good to have you guys in. Saturday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.